most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of our past guests. Our shows are also available on iTunes and Stitcher. And all you do with that is you just go to the podcast section and type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and that will bring up all of our shows from 2008 until today. Now, if you want to know, our show has become so popular. Thank you, little people. We are booked all the way until February of next year. So thank you so much for making this show so popular. Thank you. Of course, I am worked myself to death, and I'm probably going to die early, so I'll have to be preparing a co-host just in case. But thank you anyway. So if you want to find out who is on our show and up until February, you want to go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. And if you know someone that's in the entertainment industry in a professional capacity, please feel free to give them my email address, because we want people on the show that can motivate and inspire and give us some information that will help people pursue their dream. Now, as always, we have fantastic guests on this show, and today is no exception. Oh my gosh. Well, I tell you one thing. The guy sitting next to me, he is hotter than hot, sexier than sexy, sultry, in every word to describe some late night Friday action. This is what I'm thinking. His name is Leo Fadi, and he's a hot Italian filmmaker, and I can barely contain myself. I'm ready to rip his little chest hair off sitting next to him. And he is joining us today. Leo was on the show last year. He's an Italian-born filmmaker, performer, and he has made the United States his new home following a move to Los Angeles about 5 years ago. And he is recognized not only for being the hottie of hot in Italy, blonde hair, blue eye Italian now, not the traditional B on B, brown hair, brown eye. He is the special breed. He is the north, I think, probably from the north of Italy. We'll have to find out. He is recognized as an international, unconventional, and fearless artist who moves effortlessly between acting, filmmaking, musical theater, improvisation, and writing. And he is always ready for his next project. I bet he is ready for anything. Woo! All right, I'm going to get control of myself. You know Albert's here in the studio with me, my husband, but he doesn't care. He is so over it. And we have, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have this lady on the show. She is a friend of Leo's. Her name is Jane Lanier, and she is a legendary Broadway performer, choreographer, and director. And she has appeared on Broadway in Fosse. She got a Drama Desk nomination Jerome Robbins Broadway Tony Award nomination, Guys and Dolls, Anything Goes, Sweet Charity, and On Your Toes. And favorites regionally is Bessie in Counselor at Law, Drama Log, LA Drama Critics Circle, and Ovation Awards. I could read her awards. It's just like, I'm getting a telephone book. That's Jane Lanier's awards. I'm trying to get as many as possible. Kate in The Wild Party, Petra in A Little Night Music, Cassie in A Chorus Line, Adelaide in Guys and Dolls, Jane in World Goes Round, and Fastrada in Pippin. My God, she's a theater impresario. Woo! Movies and TV work include Michael, Mercy, The Shield, Murder One, Diagnosis Murder, and Passions. And I just found out from the lovely, beautiful Stephen Lucen that she also was on Glee, which I'm very excited about because I was just on Glee too. Yay! I was so excited because I got to work with Jane. I was in a scene with Jane Lynch, and now she's no longer on the show. So very excited about that. So without further ado, let's welcome Leo and Jane. Yay!
Hi.
Wow! Pump it up, Leo! Don't stay there looking hot. We need some action out of you. What are you, one of those men that just lay there?
Get working!
Get working on the show. Thank you so much for coming in. Now,
Our pleasure.
Now, thank you so much, Jane, as well.
Oh, yes, I love
and
it.
And now
you.
I understand that we were going to be bringing a cameraman in because Leo, why were we going to be bringing a cameraman in, but it didn't happen?
Well, me and Jane are working on this show that is many things at once, which is the way I like it. That sounds dirty.
Wow. We like that.
So it's a live show, which is also a documentary and a web series.
Okay.
So as part of that, we were coming out with the crew, but the show is happening a little later in the year now, so we'll postpone that to when you can rock your stilettos.
I know.
Yes.
My. Now, how did you and Jane meet? How did you come together and collaborate?
On a dating website. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
Wow.
Jane. Hey, you'd be lucky that you don't get men looking like this on a dating website. They put Leo's picture up, and then there's a whole catfish scenario going on.
I love you, Priscilla.
You don't get somebody looking like that. But how did you guys meet and all that?
She directed a section of it was a
memorial for my boss, my dear friend, and one of Leo's teacher mentors at the college that I work at.
Oh.
And we met because Leo did the number that I choreographed and put together.
Yeah. And I knew of Jane, of course, before. And as soon as I had an idea of something Broadway related, I'm like, I'm going to get this amazing person to work with me.
And I'm sure it wasn't hard to get Jane to work with you when she saw that. You know, not only were you attractive, but you had skills.
Well, it was fun.
I mean, it's like you're not just a pretty face. You actually are talented.
Thank you.
Right, Jane?
Yes, very much so. But it was his, you know, we had a meeting, and it was his passion and his drive. And one of those people that he just had ideas, did it, knew what he was doing, and made it all happen. And I was like, I like this.
I like you guys.
I really wish I could be thinking in the business format of what you're saying, but it just keeps going somewhere else. It's so, I can't have men like Leo on my show. That's it. No more hot guys. I just can't go in a professional matter. Everything Jane said just turned twisted and dark. Okay, moving on. Okay, so let's go into career advice,
yes.
Leo. In your opinion, as a filmmaker, a lot of people want to know this. How can a person earn a living and sustain their career as a beginning filmmaker? For people who are not built, you know, have the silver spoon in their mouth, how do you do it? And that could be for both of you. Leo first.
I think, you know, it depends on where you are with your life and many things. I think side jobs are always great because they help you, you know, stay in a city where you can find the jobs that are going to further your filmmaking career and direct a short film or something like that. But the more you can find business-related jobs, the better it is. You're going to start creating a network a network of connections and stuff like that. So, you know, intern in an agency or stuff like that really helps because you start meeting people. Mm-hmm. And
but if you're interning, you're not making any money.
Well, not for the first month or two, but then if you do a good job, I know a number of friends that actually have earned their way to a paid position in that agency or I don't know, many other, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't like to recommend the traditional jobs, waiter, waitress. I like to offer jobs that are not traditional, like, nanny's kind of traditional.
What it's also cool, and I've seen many of my friends do successfully, is that we all have not just one passion, and to also feed something else in your heart. Like, I don't know if you have a passion for sports or something like
jewelry
that.
Jewelry making. You go to Venice and sell your jewelry.
And it also helps your mind getting off the show business. You get
the desperation that we wreak on a daily basis we don't want to show. Yeah, what about you, Jane? What do you think are some really good jobs that one could get?
Well, I know to go in into PA and different productions, you know, you learn the craft then if you're new to some business, but to the business, you have a desire to do one aspect, but then you can learn all different things coming into it. Something that you're not used to doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Didn't really make any sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense because you learn stuff that you're going to use later on.
That you're going to use later.
Absolutely, you will.
Because I always feel knowledge is power.
It
is. So the more you know about your profession, the better it is.
Yeah. Now, if you guys wanted you specifically being, I don't know if you produce film. I'm not sure.
I've directed one film.
So I had this question. This was from a guy named Timothy from Rock Creek, Maryland. He said, hey, Leo, if you decide that you want or need a collaborator on your film, how do you determine if someone is truly worth collaborating with on a film project?
It depends on the story.
Mm.
Absolutely. A lot of people that I work with and investors, they ask me, do you have a team that you work with all the time?
Yeah.
And I say no, because depending on what story I'm telling, I'm going to bring on people that resonate with that message and that story, because they're going to bring the best of them to that specific project. Now, granted, you know, I know I have an editor that I trust or a camera guy that I trust that I can't go back to because I trust them, but style and you know, vision and story, we're storytellers.
Mm-hmm.
Story is the number one thing that drives my choices and my team.
Now, Albert, I'm going to bring you in on this because Leo has a different viewpoint than what we were talking about. J.J. Abrams works with the same team constantly. Who are the team members for that he works with?
Oh, yeah. That's Robert Orsi and Alex Kurtzman and himself.
And himself, yeah. They're like the triad, and they have come in and they're revamping Star Wars. They do. What are some of their other projects?
They did a Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible recently, the new one, and Lost.
I saw J.J. Abrams on Ghost Protocol. His name was there, but it wasn't the other two there.
Yeah,
he was
so
working with Tom Cruise and someone else.
Yeah, now he was saying once you find somebody that you really click with and you have chemistry, always stay with that person. But I've heard people go in your direction too that want fresh blood. And so how do you know? Is it just what you feel and what works for you?
I think it is to a certain degree. Plus, in this industry, to find somebody that you can really trust is so hard that people like tend to like, oh my God, I'm not going to let go of you. But, you know, all these films that you guys mentioned are also kind of like the same kind of energy anyway. I go from, you know, a dramatic film to a musical theater project, so I have to change, you know. I couldn't accomplish what I'm doing on a dramatic film with the same crew and team that I would on a
that's a good point.
So it also depends on what you
that's
I'm curious
true.
So I go around like a crazy person.
Now now this is for both of you. Let's start with you. What are some of the strengths that you bring to the table on a film project, do you feel?
A different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always trying to think of the thing that it's not apparent and try to bring it to show things from a different point of view. I guess that's what I like.
The Italian point of view.
Yes, absolutely.
The hot Italian.
The hot Italian point of view. Okay, this question comes from Susan from Yonkers. How do you not waste time while working? Oh, it's two questions. How do you not waste time while working on a film, and how do you encourage people to achieve their very best on the set?
Teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story.
Okay.
I was building sets for my film Tipping Point, and we didn't have enough people to paint the walls. We were building sets on the studio, and I called all my friends and said, hey, we need people to help build the sets and paint. And this one friend referred a guy that came in and started distracting everybody and started like bringing chaos, and he was just this odd energy that didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to do that, but I had to kindly ask the person to leave.
Yeah.
Because even though it was more manpower,
yeah.
It was just not. So if the team doesn't work well,
yeah,
it's
the chemistry.
So you need a good producer, a good first AD. And the team. That's
I agree.
What do you think, Jane? Like, what is?
And pre-production, I'm a big one on being organized, knowing exactly what I want, knowing what shot I'm going to use, all that stuff, and I do it in advance. But I think that also comes from the dancer discipline and the choreographer in me.
Mm-hmm.
That I like things that can that we can play on the spot, but I want to know. Going in a plan that we can at least use as a foundation.
I agree. How do you think? What would you recommend to people to do during the planning process that they can be guaranteed that they're going to get every shot that they need to? Because once you stop, that's it. It's going to cost you a fortune to go back.
I know.
How do you know? Like, there's so many things going on.
Yeah, you don't really.
Don't.
I mean, you can plan as much as you can. Again, having a good team is important, but sometimes, shit happens.
Yeah.
And you just got to roll with that, too. But also having experience and being in there, then you learn how to deal with it quickly.
Yeah.
And sometimes mistakes end up being a positive.
That's true.
You find stuff with mistakes.
That's
you
right.
Find different things, different ways to work if things don't go right.
And with you being a producer, you got to rely on your director and then your DP, and you're like, oh, I hope they get the shot. So I hope they get it. But you just don't know. Now, Leo, both of you, what do you do to encourage people and keep the processes moving faster on the set that's different from other people? Like, what is this Italian guy bringing on the set to keep it? Because like you were saying, this guy came on, he was disrupting, you kicked him off. But you got to keep the set upbeat, I believe, and energetic and pumped up. What do you do?
That's a great question, and we should ask Jane as a director what she does. But what I think I do is you have to have some sort of authority to not let things go out of your control. And then you have to be at the same time cheerful and like, make a joke about stuff.
Yes.
But you have to also be able to say, okay, enough. This is as far as we're able to go.
Mm-hmm.
And gain your power in a very calm way, I guess. Because I don't like yellers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jane is a great director. She would have a better answer than mine.
Jane?
No. Well, I don't think I'd have a better answer. I like when I cast people, my actors, I like a certain energy and talent.
Yeah.
So that I know that I can rely on them.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm going to get, that I don't have to worry about that. So that if a technical issue comes up, my actors are going to be right there. And I'm also an actor's director.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference. And I think that also comes from me being in the theater. But I actually like to direct my actors and find, the next layer and pull performances out of them that aren't necessarily right at their fingertips, but that we have to dig, which I like.
Now, do you direct theater, television, film? Just theater, just film?
Mainly have directed straight plays. I directed one film that I did not write, but I was hired as a director to direct all dramatic, too. It's weird. I've been in musical theater, but I direct the straight stuff. So I love it. But I was in a theater company here for years, and we did tons of plays, and so...
And
I like to do a lot.
Can you describe the difference between directing theater and directing film?
Ugh, Yes.
Like people think, oh, you know, I directed theater in my small town and I'm going to go to LA or New York and I'm going to direct. But there's a difference.
There's
For example,
a difference.
Let me tell you a little story. I came from a little community theater, nothing big, nothing whippy. Right. But while I was in college, I decided I was going to pursue community theater. So my first experience started out with me being an assistant stage manager. And the only reason they hired me was because the real stage manager was narcoleptic. And I my sole job was that I had to follow her around. And if she fell asleep, I had to take over.
Oh my God.
Which she did on opening night. And I had to tape her to a chair. And she was an administrative judge. And I was so scared about that. But apparently I did such a great job. The next thing you know how small community theaters.
Oh, sure.
Next thing I'm like, okay, I went from assistant stage manager to stage manager. And then I rocked that little part. Next thing you know, I'm directing my little plays, right? And so I continued to do that. But when I moved here, and this was Maryland, mm-hmm. when I was there, I learned about energy circles and, you know, all the stuff. So I come here, I start working at Hermosa Beach Civic Theater, and I go in the first day, and I say, okay, you know, let's start our energy circle. They looked at me like I was a freak show. They're like, we do our thing in the car. We do everything before we come here. So there was such a big difference with that. And they said, we do film. And I'm thinking, well, why are you doing theater? And they're like, well, this is what we do in between our project. So what do you feel about that? What do you think about directing?
Well, I mean, when I directed my film, you know, I said to my actors, I want a rehearsal. I know this is not, but I want us to sit. And we sat around and we read the script so that we were all in the same room together once.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're shooting middle of the film, then the end, and then you go back to the beginning. So I wanted everybody to be in a room. But that's me.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of directors don't ever do that.
But see, that's the way professionals work, even in the film industry. And we don't really necessarily we think, oh, film is fast. You go in and you do it. I was just listening to Steven Spielberg's interview about Lincoln. You know how many rehearsals they had? Screen tests and stuff. Like, these people were on the job way before they started shooting.
Yeah.
So I feel a lot of stuff here gets made, theater and film, in a little bit of an unprofessional way,
mm-hmm.
but we all want to be professionals.
It's different.
It's different. So maybe if we approach it in a professional way, see, Jane comes from professional Broadway. She knows what professional is, and she went into directing a film. She applied professionalism right away into it.
Right.
And it was surprising to people to hear, oh, we got to rehearse? It's like, yeah.
Yeah. It is so different. East Coast, especially Broadway. Oh, it's just, I mean, they are strict and strenuous, and you will work and work and work. And out here, it's a little more, you know, a little not as, I don't know. I didn't use the wrong word. It's not a priority to do as many rehearsals it is.
No, it's a very different.
Yeah, different mindset.
Sensibilities.
Different mindset for sure. Now, Leo, this is from Sally from.
Hey, Sally.
Hey, lay down, Sally. Oh God, no, that could be looked at. Well, I'm putting it. Oh Lord.
Here we go again.
Oh, Sally, I'm sure you're such a nice girl. Oh, Sally from Chicago, Norton. She said, "Hey, Leo, how do you get a distribution company interested in your film?"
Connections. You got to talk to as many people as you can. You have to do as much self-promotion as you can. Right now, we have the internet, which is a magic medium to do so much. So, like, get your story out. Talk about it. Have social media talk about it. Do a party and take photos and do anything you can to connect. It's all in the people you know. And the people that know you and that respect you.
It really is, Sally. And I'm so sorry because I know you got a part two in that question. I just didn't continue to. Okay, so part two is lay down Sally's question.
Sally.
We're just going to call it. It's a compliment, Sally. She says, oh, Lord, I can't read what the heck. Well, I'm going to translate it, Sally, because English is a problem here. Okay, what is the best way to approach a representative of a distribution company at the screening of your film? Well, that's a good question, because when you're there screening your film, you could have distributors there sometimes.
If they made it to the screening, that's already great news. Like, you're ready.
Oh, sometimes they show up just for the food, so they're not really interested.
I don't know about, I don't, maybe Chicago. I mean, I should move to Chicago with you. I mean, I don't see like distributors coming to screenings here like that often. Just cause.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point. Screening. That's a good point, because here is different than maybe Chicago.
Absolutely.
I don't know about
Absolutely.
Chicago.
It might be because, again, it's not as easy here to get those people out.
Right.
Probably they want to get a screener and then they want to watch it on the road and do all that fun stuff. But if it's, you know, if you got them out there, connect as a person. Don't go there with a business mind.
Yeah.
Go there and, you know.
Schmooze.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's about the passion.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's about the story. It's about the passion. If you have passion about your project, other people will too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I took from her questions and I added one myself. Okay, this is for Leo, what is the average amount you should expect to have available for the deliverables if a distribution company wants to proceed with your film?
Oh,
that is,
I don't know.
People
honestly,
just on see. Let
it
me
depends
just tell
on the
you,
film.
It's crazy because people want to rush to make a film, right? And most of the time, you know, you may not have money. So then if you do beg, borrow, and steal and scrape it together, you made it. But then if you didn't, this is where it's show business, not just show. You got to have some business skills, because if you do get the money to make your film and say you actually get it done, and say somebody's interested, then they're going to come to you. Say a distribution company comes to you and they say, well, we're interested, but there's things called deliverables that you have to pay for out of pocket.
Right.
And usually it's about 15 grand. So people are like, what? What is that? Because they don't know about that aspect of it.
Well, not only that, even if you go the festival route, like the amount of money you have to spend for submissions and screeners and stuff that you have to send out and how you're going to screen your film and publicity stuff, that's all that you have to kind of like have a mind for before you get into the film, because, you know,
it's important to do a budget.
Money.
And add 25% for a bumper cushion.
Yeah.
That is my
It depends
advice.
On the film. It also depends, you know, what kind of film it is and how long it is and all that fun stuff. It changes, because some of the stuff, if you go to a post-production facility, it's by minute that they charge you.
Right.
So,
that's true. Yeah. Jane, you want to jump in on that?
No.
Oh, that's fine.
That's good. No, I'm just saying yes.
It's so true, though. But remember, these are things, as a beginning filmmaker, you may not, you'd be lucky as a beginning filmmaker someone was interested to distribute it, but try to add that 25% bumper cushion if you can. So you want to factor that in. And the last question we're going to ask Leo before we move on to Jane, get out, that's not your real name, Jim Beam. That is not your name. Oh, I don't know who Jim Beam. He did spell it B-E-E-M, but okay, from Louisville, Kentucky. Maybe his name is. Okay, he says, hey, Leo, with so many factors shaping a film's success or failure and so much required to go into a film just to make it and even more to make it well, what can be done so it does not ever feel worth the effort on the set?
So basically,
I think what he's saying is, I don't know what the hell. Jane, you want to help us with this? Jane, what's Jim Beam? I think Jim Beam was drinking Jim Beam when he wrote this question.
But I think he's talking about, I mean, any aspect of this business, you have to love so much that there's nothing else that you can do.
Amen.
So nothing is an effort. You know what I mean? You love it all, even the hard days.
Yeah.
Because you cannot do anything else.
Yeah.
It's too hard otherwise.
Right. And don't look at it as a failure. Because everything you do, it's going to be a learning experience. Even you really just bomb it big time, you'll learn something not to do the next time, right?
Exactly.
You know, when you wrap a production, you're empty, completely empty. Mm-hmm. And I think it must be the same with a show. You've given out everything you got.
Yeah.
And there's this feeling of like emptiness that it's undescribable. I don't even know how to really put it into words. But then the next day, you feel this great feeling of accomplishment. You haven't seen anything yet, but it's still like, It's your passion. It's your love. So it's always worth it.
Yeah. So don't rush it. Take your time. Try to Jim Beam. I know, Jim. I don't know if that's for your real
name.
He's
on the vodka and take your time.
Louisville, Kentucky. Okay. I hope that answered your question. Now we're going to go into talking about some of Leo. What? Forgive me if I keep calling you Leo. I know
it's
Leo. Did I say?
No. You'd be calling you Leo.
Leo. I want to sing the banana song. Leo. Okay. So now, last time you were on the show, you had just started in Love Triangle. Again, he gives me an opportunity to add something, but I'm not. I'm moving on. A comedy that was selected as the official selection at the LA Comedy Fest and at the Vegas Cinefest. Mm-hmm. So what was the outcome of that film?
We took it around a few more festivals, and then I moved to the next project.
Woo! See, he doesn't play.
No.
He will work it out, and then he's moving on. Yep. Now, that's a good question, though. Okay, so you do a film, you enter it in the festivals, it goes around, it may win an award, it may not win an award. Mm-hmm. How do you know when to move on?
When you're bored.
When you're bored.
I guess, I don't know. I get ideas. So, like, when I can't stop thinking about the next thing, it's time to move on to the next thing. Also, you know, a festival run has a life that you meet a bunch of people. And again, you know, my contact list now is what it is. And it's great that it is what it is. And then you get another frisky idea and you just get taken away with it and you go. Mm. You go. And also, you know, like sometimes you can get to accomplish making that one idea, and then you have another one that takes over. So many people get stuck with that one thing that they have to do, and then they end up not doing anything because they only focus on one instead of like maybe letting go of something that you're on to the next, man. Let's keep moving.
But I guess it might be kind of hard for some people to move on because it takes a lot of money to make a film and you want to drain like your last bit of
energy. How many people
do
you know?
When do you know?
How many people do you know that could help you get something done? Mm. How many people do you know? You know, it takes a lot of money and it's hard and we can talk about it for how many people do you know that are willing to help, there's so much. And now, honestly, right now I have a little more access to a little more funds. And it's a little bit easier in a certain way. But if I think about what I accomplished with no money, so much more in a way that I could even think I could right now. Probably I wouldn't even now. But
oh, you have to give me your secrets.
I will.
Better.
It's the people you know. Go ask people that people are going to be excited to be a part of your things. Are going to be excited.
People out here tend to like money. I don't know. On the East Coast, it's more like, hey, you know, what can I do for you? Nah, you don't have to pay me. Nah, you don't have to. Out here, it's like, oh, so what have you done for me lately? They're singing the Janet Jackson tune out here. I mean, I don't hear that stuff. Okay, so now recently you were in Cannes, and I want to know why you were there. I know why you're there, but why were you there? And tell us about any success that you may have had there.
It was so fun. Cannes was, I was there with The Tipping Point, which was the film I did next, Love Triangle. And it was just such an amazing experience. It was my first time at the festival. The festival is the biggest event I've been to, like, ever. It's just huge. They have the film festival going on in the film market, and then all the film commissions of every possible country is out there trying to pitch their country for filming and stuff like that. So you get lost for 2 days. You don't know what's happening. And then at night, everybody parties and gets drunk.
So
it's
you
weird.
Went there to submit, I guess, at the short film, the corner, the short film.
Yeah.
So they have at Cannes, they have what's called, it's called the shorts corner. Short film corner.
Yeah.
So you can go there. If you're lucky, like Leo, God knows how he got over there, but he got over there. It's expensive. Yeah. Not everybody has that ability, but Leo worked it out. He got over to Cannes, and he took his film Tipping Point.
Yeah.
And tell us about the process you have to go through.
You have to, the thing about it is really have to, the event is so big that you have to be your own promoter. So you have to go like see other screenings and meet people and get connections and stuff like that. And then you have your screening so you can invite people. And, you know, by the end of the process, you come out with a lot of, again, connections and people that you know and people that know you and your work. What happened with Tipping Point is that it got picked up to screen in London the next week from that. And so now we're like after that, you know.
So it was selected to screen at Cannes.
Yes.
Get the hell out of here! I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I thought Leo was like hiking over to Cannes by himself pitching his film. I didn't know that you actually were selected. liked it.
Yeah.
I thought you were just over there, like, doing
knocking
your...
Knocking on doors.
Yeah, knocking on doors.
I love that.
Well, that's even better. So yeah, it was selected, so it must be a great film.
You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, I'll send it to you. Okay. I'm a little offended.
What? Well, how would I see it? It was just at Con. It hasn't even been picked up for distribution, but all right.
Yes, it's going to be on cable soon.
Okay, so now what is Tipping Point about? So
it's about New York and how life can change in a heartbeat by a coincidence. And that's the main thing.
That's all you're giving us. You better give us something
else.
Watch
Come
the on
movie.
Now.
That's what I mean,
all right. Well, you know what motivates me to watch it. Are there any hot guys?
Yes, there are.
All right. Are you in it?
No.
You were in Love Triangle, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Okay. But you're not in this one.
Mm-hmm, no.
Okay. But you will take care of my needs by having...
There's a hottie for you. Wow. There's a hottie for you in the show.
Now, we got to get Albert. We got to have somebody now. We're any beautiful girls.
Oh, there's also a beautiful girl for you.
Okay, all right. Now, a few years ago, you began to create your own projects because you said that you wanted to bring your own ideas to life, which mm-hmm. is what we all, I believe, as a pioneer, if your phone's not ringing off the hook, they're not beating your door down to act, direct, produce, whatever you want to do, create your own projects,
exactly.
Like Leo, right, Jane?
Yes.
So, for instance, you created the Italian TV series Ciao Hollywood, mm-hmm. and that was in negotiation for distribution with Fox Italy, and that was your first success. So tell us about that. How did it go?
It was fun. It was just a lot of fun. It opened up a lot of doors. We created this project. Again, we started with, like, really a ridiculous budget. It was almost nothing. And it took me to Fox. So, like, it's possible.
Get out of here. How do you do that, Leo?
You just milk what you got. You just don't listen to the voice inside you that says, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's hard. Just do it. Just do it. Have fun.
Just go and ask people, will you do this for me?
You know,
what
it happens. You have to know who you know, and you have to, you know, you can't stalk people, but you can intrigue people in what you're doing, and you get people curious, and then people, you know, get more interested. Also, you know, people that are outside the business.
Yeah.
Not necessarily people that are in the business. You know, I got so many of my locations from, like, people that we're just curious. So how does it work to do a film?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, yeah, I'll shoot mm-hmm. it in your house. I'll show you how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Product placement. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Say, yeah, you find somebody who sells t-shirts,
yeah.
a t-shirt store. You say, I will have my cast wear the t-shirts. We'll put it somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You got to think outside the box. Think about it, people. Okay, so... now, are you involved in any theatrical productions now with Jane? Are you guys planning on anything?
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Extravaganza.
The extravaganza.
Yeah.
Other than that, anything?
No.
No, so
that's enough.
That's going to be enough. Okay.
Yeah. It's a handful.
Now, with your company, it's called Seven Waves Entertainment. Mm-hmm. I always want to know why you came up with that. We never touched that, but I like that. I love it. It's really sexy. Okay. Seven Waves Entertainment. How long has that been? A year?
A year, right? 1 year.
Yeah.
Last June.
And that was, you were in collaboration with your mentor, Marco Gomez, mm-hmm. right? Are you mm-hmm. still with Marco?
Absolutely.
And he's working on Extravaganza with you,
he's
right?
He's backing us up in Extravaganza, and we're exploring this crazy theater
world.
Now,
is it a television episodic? Is that?
It's going to be a web episodic.
A web?
A web episodic and a documentary, and thanks to Jane, an amazing live show.
About a live show in L.A. with the twist that the live show will be really playing live in L.A.
Yeah.
What the heck's that mean?
That the live show is really happening, so you can go wear your stilettos and go see the show in Los Angeles. But also you can log on the computer and watch the web series, and then you can go to a festival, or if you get picked up, to the movie theater and watch a documentary about it. So we're going to attack all your senses.
I don't mind you attacking all my senses. All right, moving
go.
On. Uh-oh! Okay, now... you are always excited about your next adventure and idea. What's next after? Can you see past Extravaganza with your vision? Just working
on
that.
Well, we're just starting.
Starting.
I mean,
you
know, we've
okay.
been kind of like developing for a while, but now is the time to really focus on it. And we got such an amazing cast and such amazing people working on it. I'm so excited to work with this one here.
Yeah.
Jane is just like...
She seems really cool.
No, Jane is... Okay, I have to say... I'm going to say it on air so that it's official. I love this person so much. She is so talented and so brilliant. And
mm-hmm.
it's just such... I couldn't do any of this extravaganza stuff if it wasn't
now,
for her.
Now, what is Jane doing on extravaganza? What are you doing, Jane?
She's directing the live show, and she's choreographing the live show.
Okay.
So she'll tell you more about
what she's... Now, what are you choreographing? Is this something that's going to have dance, or...
Yes, it is. Cause the
is this like a Donnie and Marie show? What kind of show is what am I seeing here?
I don't know if we're going to have any shag haircuts or anything. No, but we're taking, 10 girls that are just starting, that have had training and have the passion and have talent. They can sing, they can dance, they can act. And so each girl will get their moment, but then we want to do group numbers so that we introduce all the girls. So those are the numbers that we're discussing songs, what kind of feel. So I'll be choreographing those so that it's not just standing there and singing. It is actually using their bodies and being comfortable and moving.
We're going to have some new sync kind of boy band action. Are we doing?
Probably not.
Okay, all right. I'm still stuck in the 80s. Okay, all
right. But we're going to keep it more musical theater.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to do some classics, some new material, hopefully from new composers. But, do some...
So it's not a talent show, per se.
Well, it is in a way that one gal will win $10,000.
Okay. Yes.
So in that way, there is a winner.
So it's a competition of some sort.
It's a competition, but we don't want to call it a talent show because it's an honoring talent kind of thing. We want to really give them an opportunity. And
so is it a little bit of The Voice, a little bit American Idol, nothing
Broadway,
like that?
But Broadway.
And we've also talked to, we call them the Broadway divas, so that we've got mentors. Ladies that have been there, that have done it, that have auditions and have succeeded on Broadway. And they will be, I feel it's important for those of us that have been there and done to pay it forward, to pass down, And so that's what we're going to be doing so that they'll be performing and mentoring the girls will be performing. So it's mixing it up, the new and the established.
Which is what you do with this show too,
I like that. It's sort of like I'm not comparing it, but like on American Idol, they have Smokey Robinson come and mentor. So I mean, that's very important. That's my favorite part of the whole American Idol show, that and Simon, but he's gone, so now it's just those segments. But I like to see what they say and what kind of advice they give and how honest they are with the talent, because I am not a sugarcoat person. I'm a nice person, but if you're doing something that I know you shouldn't be doing, I'm going to tell you because I'm very blunt and forward. It's East Coast. Yeah. And I find that a lot of people don't do that. They just want to tell you how nice and fluffy you are.
But that's not helping them. No, it's not going to serve you. And like I said, we've been there. We've done that. I mean, I got a show in New York, 700 girls auditioned, 10 of us got the job. Those are the odds.
Right.
That's it, black and white.
Right.
There's, so...
So this sounds like this show is going to be so different from American Idol and The Voice in that it's more Broadway related, and I haven't seen anything like that.
No.
This is something new.
Yep.
Leo?
Not only that, but again, nothing has been like so much, so big on the live outreach as well as the web outreach and the,
Okay, so what's going on with it now? Because I know you were... Something was supposed to happen today. You were going to do like a documentary behind the scenes of it.
We're still doing that. We're still doing that, and we're just gearing up to. We decided to make the big live show, the end of the year kind of thing instead of a summer thing. So
So you'll be shooting.
I'll be shooting up to December, where the big live event will happen. A lucky gal will win $10,000. This is a good Christmas present, huh?
So you're going to stop shooting and then air the episodes and then do the winner?
Some of the episodes will release before, so that we can, start the buzz before the live show. And then the last episodes will release after.
Okay, now where are the episodes going to be shown? YouTube on a subscription channel or... yeah. your website,
yes,
or where
both,
can we go?
Both YouTube
to look
and
up?
The website. Will,
okay,
will
so
be
if we go to YouTube, what do we type in?
Seven Waves Entertainment.
Seven Waves Entertainment.
Yeah,
so that's your channel on
yeah.
YouTube, and that's where the webisode
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you can go to his website, leofoti.com, and I'm sure
the company
you have
website.
Some stuff.
The company website will be is.
Oh, it's not going to be yours.
No.
Seven Waves Entertainment.
Seven-waves.com.
Seven. The number seven.
The number 7-waves.com.
Dash-waves.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there is a lot of like information on the company on the website. Our contact information for submissions and stuff like that. If you have a cool idea, we're always open to hear. And
so you've already cast this. There's nobody
mainly,
that can. So how many webisodes?
10.
Ten. Mm-hmm. Okay. So after the person wins $10,000, mm-hmm. what do they do? Do they get like do they go to New York?
Hopefully
get to audition
they use it
for something.
They use it for their career.
So it's just the money. It's not $10,000 plus
no.
an opportunity to do.
But see, the thing about this is that these gals are not gonna just win the money. They're gonna get to work with Jay Lanier. Everybody mm-hmm. knows Jane. They're gonna get to work with the mentors, the Broadway mentors. That's a connection. That's a person on your team that
mm-hmm.
cheers for you
mm-hmm.
in your career. There is no value to this.
Yeah,
stuff, you know?
I watch Dancing with the Stars. I don't want... No, excuse me, not Dancing with the Stars. So You Think You Can Dance. I don't like Dancing with the Stars. And every one of them end up choreographing the dances afterwards.
Right.
So to be on the show, I can't imagine that it's not going to be a boon for someone.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And to go to New York, you know, to... If you... Because it's a big move, the girls out here. You
yeah.
know, it's a big move, and if you don't know many people, but you want that, that's your dream. That $10,000, I mean, I moved to New York when I was 19 with, like, less than $1,000.
What did you do? $1,000 is lunch in New York. What
right.
in the world?
I know.
What
I
did
lived
you
in...
do? Tell us the story. We got 5 minutes, but let's try to talk all about you now. Let's make it
oh,
the Jane.
We
the
don't
Jane
have to
show.
Make it the Jane show.
We do, because I want to know how a girl from, because you were born in Tarzana.
No, I was born in Indiana.
Oh, it's that on your... Oh. Is this another Jane that I'm
no,
looking at? You
I
were born
in
June 11th, June 11th in Tarzana. No, I won't.
Okay.
In Tarzana?
No, it said
they
that
have
on the...
listed.
I know, because I lived in Tarzana. I actually saw that one time on Google. I'm like, why do they have that? No, I'm from Indiana.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So how does a girl from Indiana get to Broadway?
Well, I was with the ballet company. And then when I was 17, auditioned for a cruise ship because my ballet director knew the choreographer, and I got a job. So I graduated in mid-year my senior year of high school and went to cruise ships.
Wow.
I know. And then at 19, I went to Ohio and then got my equity card through Kenley Players, who was a summer stock. John Kenley's a
yeah,
famous.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went to New York to visit because I'd never been there because I knew I wanted to go there, right? And I got... my second show that I ever auditioned for, the pre-Broadway tour of Colette.
Wow.
That was written by Jones and Schmidt, who wrote The Fantastics.
Right.
Starred Diana Rigg.
Yep.
And, you know, so...
Wow.
So, yeah, I was 19 and did that. And
you mean, did you have to go to callbacks, or did you just...
Yes. No, I went there, and then I flew back for my callback, and I got the job.
Wow.
I know. I was, like,
wow.
You know, I'm knocking on wood. Luck and...
Yeah.
And then I had, you know, like I said, like a... $1,000 and I moved there and lived in a residency and took as many dance classes as I could, and I had money for, you know, cold noodles and sesame sauce and a bagel.
Yep.
But the guys at H&H Bagels like my blue eyes, so he would like give me
yeah,
some for free.
Bagels.
And I just worked and worked and studied and went to auditions, and I was very fortunate to have worked with Fosse, to have worked with Jerome Robbins, and I never had to do anything else.
Wow.
You know, just when I got down to, oh my God, I'm going to have to find a real job, something
kept
came
coming
up.
Yeah.
Yes. So
and,
I was blessed.
And you've been nominated for so many awards. I mean,
yeah.
We could bullet point it all night, but
okay.
I have some questions that I wanted to ask you. I want to get this in. Who were the people that inspired you to become a dancer, choreographer, or performer? Who were your favorites?
I mean, when I was, well...
Gregory Hines, maybe. Fosse, obviously.
Fosse. I mean, I always, when I went to New York, I always had a dream of dancing with him, and people would go, you could be a Fosse dancer because I'm really leggy.
Yeah.
You know? And so the first time I went to audition, he was there, and I was like, oh my God, what if I get cut right away? It's the jump across the floor. And then I didn't, though. And then, you know, so, yeah, working with him and working with Robbins and Jerry Zaks and Patti LuPone. I mean, you know, I've gotten to work Patti with LuPone. So amazing people that I've learned so much. Watching Diana Rigg when I was 19, I learned more from sitting there watching her work. You know, that's what I try to teach when I teach my kids. Watch, listen, find out what you would do, what you can't do. You know, that's how you're going to learn.
Favorite show that you either performed, choreographed, or danced in?
I'd have to say Sweet Charity.
Why?
Just to do Fosse stuff in the original Frug and Big Spender. Are you kidding? Oh, my God. Yeah, that was amazing.
All right. So I got 1 minute. Told you in the beginning I was going to try to coax you. Now, I don't know. Leo, are you a singer?
Nick Leo sing. He's a really good singer. Yeah.
Can I get a line? I wanted a Broadway number to take us out. What would be a good number to take us out? Just like one line or two line. There's no business like show business. Okay,
wow.
Let's take that one out.
Are you
going to
sing with us?
I can't sing.
Come on.
I can't sing in tune. Oh, my God. He puts cotton in his ears when I sing. But okay, I'll start it out.
Okay,
but
you pick a key.
I'll say, oh Lord, that's too complicated. How about if I just start and you say, okay. I'll start. There's no business like show business, like no business I know, and then you do the last line.
Everything about it, yes.
Okay. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four. There's no business like show business.
There's no business at all.
Everything about it is appealing. Everything I can't remember.
Can allow something like that.
And take it back. Start with theirs.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know.
Jazz hands, everybody! Woo! And that's all you're gonna get! Thank you for tuning in. We have the wonderful Jane Lanier. We have the great hot sexy Leo Fonte. And check out their show coming up, webisode on 7, the number, -wavesentertainment.com. And I would imagine we can start watching it when?
Absolutely.
No, when?
Oh, when? I don't know. I zoned out. In October 15th.
October 15th. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Jane, what about website? Do you have a website?
No, I don't.
Okay.
See, this is why I'm with Leo, because I'm learning all this stuff. I'm kind of old school. This is awesome.
I own a website design company. I'm going to do one for you. For
free.
Okay. Speaking of connections.
Speaking of connections. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.